This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 11th, 2019, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
These all died in faith, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. The words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We hear quite frequently, sounds very churchy, that we are pilgrims in this world. In other versions of the scriptures in English, it says we are pilgrims and exiles on the earth. Strangers and exiles. When we say we're pilgrims here, what does that mean? I don't mean what do you think it might mean, but what does it mean? Because we don't have to guess. The scriptures speak of what it is to be an exile in this world, to be a pilgrim or a stranger here. There are often, very often, in discussions on the side, small groups, at Mass, we hear constantly of the problems of Holy Church in our day. Every single one of these problems can be rooted in the fact that people are losing sight of the fact. The church isn't losing sight of the fact. The Catholic Church is the Catholic Church. She has a deposit of faith. Everything is as it should be. It is individuals that are darkening our doors to the Catholic Church that present a faith that this word pilgrim is really a meaningless term. It is something very serious and very objective to be a pilgrim in this world. Like I said, all the problems we get from the most heinous to the most mundane can be grounded in the fact that we don't understand that we're different than they are. This is this whole concept. We are different. You know, you hear more than a month, you hear me throw the one out that bugs me more than probably anything, is when Catholics will say, I'm the same as you. I hate that. Yeah, that's a strong word. I do. I hate hearing that. Because that just tells me that that person doesn't know what it is to be a pilgrim in this world. They don't know what it is to be a citizen of heaven by virtue of their baptism. You are markedly different. Your apples and oranges different from them. A lot of people don't read particularly old spiritual stuff. St. Augustine wrote a book. It's one of his most famous books, way back when. The City of Man and the City of God. He differentiates between the city of man and the city of God. He articulates at length how different it is to be a citizen of the city of God versus where you were born and were an original citizen of the city of man. But we cannot forget this. Well, some people are born in the city of God and some people are born in the city of man. No. No. Everybody is born in the city of man. You are made a citizen of the city of God. Now, like I said, most people don't read stuff like that anymore. If you do, praise God. It's a good thing. I suggest it. It's great. But let's move it forward. Let's move it forward to here. The city of man that St. Augustine articulates. What we're living now is the pinnacle of the city of man. What is the city of man? The city of man is out there. It's outside of the church. Outside of the Catholic Church. The pervasive spirit in the city of man is a spirit of independence and self-reliance. It's not subtle. It tells you, it crams it down your throat, how independent you are, how you don't need to listen to it, how many rights you have. And if you know, you can even mess up on your own and you can get Dan Newland or anybody else, Morgan and Morgan, and they'll get you a bunch of money because you were silly. Okay? They'll do it for you. No responsibility. We're all self-sufficient. It's all up to us. That's the city of man. That's the city of man. And again, you get it crammed down your throat. That's not us. We're the city of God. By virtue of our baptism, you are a citizen of the city of God. That city of God, the head of whom is our Lord Jesus Christ. It flies in the face of the city of man's pervasive spirit of independence and self-sufficiency when our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the city of God, says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's exactly the opposite of the city of man. We're not self-sufficient. We can't run our own lives. We don't do a good job at it. Outside of him, apart from him, you can do nothing. His words, not mine. It's interesting, and that's the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And he goes on, and that's integral to the vine and the branches parable. You know, I expect my branches to bear fruit. And as he goes on in this parable, it leads to him talking about the world's hatred of the branches of the true vine. How the world is going to hate them if they bear fruit. This is where we, if we look at things objectively and understand that we don't belong here, when we understand that we don't belong here, we have to come to this conclusion that we have enemies. We don't have enemies, we're Christians. We love everybody. They hate you. If for one moment you think that they love you, that's a lie. They hate you. I like it because, you know, you look at it, they all love one another. This is okay, that's okay, this is okay. You know, even in Protestantism, this, you know, Methodist, love Baptist, right there. The only thing you can't be, where anybody in society has license to bash them is Catholics. Particularly Catholics who stand up for the distinctives of their faith. This should tell you something. I mean, that is the prominent example of what I'm talking about. This us and them mentality. But unfortunately, like I said, this doesn't have to do, what, is the church split? Is there two different things? No, absolutely not. There are just a bunch of individuals in the Catholic Church now that seem to fear the rejection of the world. Oh, we can't, they're mad at us. They don't like us. We can't have that. We got to have everybody liking us. You know, this fear of rejection. Newsflash, guys, they hate you already. They've already rejected you. Because you're different. You're not citizens of their city anymore. You're citizens of your own. You have your own set of laws that you must live by. And you know what? Every now and then, it clashes with the laws out there. That's when you have to make a stand. That's why so many Catholics have been burned at the stake, have been fed to lions and things like that. Because we have a set of rules that we must live by. We have our own set of laws. We adhere to our laws, not theirs. Now, it's great when it works out, and it generally does, but there are times when it doesn't. And you have to remember you're citizens of this city and not that one. Do not fear rejection. This fear of rejection, what does it cause? The watering down of our distinctives? Not only watering down our distinctives, but taking up their causes. The church making pronouncements on things over which it has no competence whatsoever. Not spiritual matters, temporal matters. This is what happens when you start losing the sight of the fact that you're a pilgrim in this world. Now, you said about, you know, a lot of people, it sticks in the craw to think about having enemies. They said, this is scripture. The first reading day from the Old Testament, from the Book of Wisdom. The particular context is the writer of the Book of Wisdom is explaining the Passover. He's explaining what's going on when God is punishing the Egyptians in the ultimate punishment, the death of the firstborn. While the Egyptians are being punished, the Hebrew people are offering festive sacrifice in their homes. They're offering festive sacrifice. When we hear festive, we think happy. There can be solemn festivals. They are celebrating sacrifice in their homes. And they are committing themselves to share blessings and dangers together as a consecrated people of God. They do not know what is in front of them. They do not know what awaits them. They just know beyond a doubt, because of all the plagues, that they have been treated different by God than the Egyptians. The Egyptians are getting smacked down time after time after time. And as they progress, and it gets worse for them, it gets better for the Hebrew people. When the Egyptians' cattle all get sick and die, and all their animals, there's not one animal that gets sick and died in any Hebrew stable. When the oppressive supernatural darkness encompasses the Egyptians, this is just, things got really dark and they couldn't see things. Many of them died. They were so scared. They were so petrified. It was a supernatural, oppressive darkness. The Israeli people had light in their homes. And when the Egyptian firstborn were being killed in every house, not just people, but animals also, the firstborn of everything was being killed, the Hebrew people lost no one. It even explicitly says, while God was punishing their enemies, the destruction of their enemies was going on. These people were safe because God was protecting them. He brought them out. They didn't defend themselves. That's what I said. We're not talking about this enemy. I'm not talking that we should fight out there. You know, we should draw the sword on somebody. We let God do that for us. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will take care. He has proven that he has, and he has said that he will take care of our enemies. And we have them. Enemies are people who hate you. But we are told by our Lord that we should pray for our enemies and bless those who persecute us. That's our Lord telling us, you do have enemies and you do have people that are going to persecute you. Who are they? The citizens of the city of man. That's why it is so necessary for us to maintain our distinctives. And it starts individually. We cannot point our at some collective abstraction of the church this, the church that. It starts individually. You as an individual have to know you are different from people out there, and you have to start acting like that. That's faith. That second reading today from Hebrews. These all died in faith, having acknowledged that they were strangers and pilgrims and exiles. They believed in the promises that were made, the promises that were not fulfilled in this world, because we are not of this world. Promises made to them not fulfilled here, but in eternity. We don't realize how different we are and how separated we are from this world. St. Paul in Galatians chapter 6 talks about, I have been crucified with Christ. What is crucifixion? What's the consequence? Death. I am dead to this world. I'm dead to this world by his crucifixion. And he tells us later on that in our baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death and raised again in newness of life. Newness as citizens of God by virtue of our baptism. We are strangers in this world. We're not strangers just in the place. We're strangers in relation to the whole world. Cannot act like they do. Cannot look like they do. I can harp on you subtly occasionally. That's why when we come into Holy Mass, we do not dress like you should look like if you're standing out on the sidewalk or waltzing through 7-Eleven because something different is going on in here and we should present that. I thought of this analogy when I was, you know, this whole stranger thing, because it can sound abstract. Most people can understand this one. I, by virtue of what I used to do, military, and when you're talking about you're on the government dime and stuff, they generally don't put you up in 5-star hotels. I mean, even in my own private and adult, you know, you driving down the expressway, you just can't drive anymore and you have to pull over, okay. They're generally okay hotel, and you pull in and you walk in the room and it's dark and you're not really paying attention. You're just going to be there a couple days. You wake up in the morning, there are like ants crawling all over everything. And you're like, oh gosh. And it, you know, now the light's on, you know, there's light outside. You can see how nasty this room really is. You know, if you're going to be there 2 or 3 days, yeah, go to Walmart, get you some bug spray, or a deodorizer, a big old can of Lysol, and things like that. You know. But are you going to paint the walls and refurnish the place and everything? No, because you're not going to stay there. That's us in this world. You know, we can get occasionally get the bug spray and try to fix this up and fix that up and tidy this up just to make it a bit tolerable, but it's no big deal. But unfortunately, the presentation now is, oh, this place is just all, it's the end all be all. Oh my gosh, you know, your carbon footprints and all this other stuff, you know, whatever. Last time I read, the place is going to be burned down, all right? That's truth. That's our truth, and we know it. You will even hear it in some of the prayers that you will hear in other places. Through those litany-esque, I don't even know what the responses are. Lord, have mercy, and all those guys. For a new and just world, for a free and just society, Lord, hear our prayer. The church is not a civilizing body. We do not look for a new, free, and just society. We are supposed to change individual lives. We are supposed to make just men perfect by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working through the church. We are supposed to convert individuals. We are not supposed to have dual citizenship. Oh yeah, we got a foot in both worlds. No, we don't. No, we don't. We shouldn't act like that. And what our mission is, to make people that are citizens of the city of man, citizens of the city of God. That's what we are supposed to do. We are not supposed to water down things. You are the light on a lampstand. You are the salt of the earth. Unfortunately, a message in a lot of places now is, hey, dim that light a little bit. It kind of scares people away. Kind of cut the salt with something, all right? What does our Lord say if they start cutting the taste of the salt? It's good for nothing except to be trampled on by foot of man. We're supposed to be very salty. We're supposed to be very bright in this world. We're supposed to be confrontational. We are not supposed to make ourselves look like them so they feel comfortable here. That nonsense. We've got to make ourselves relevant. No, we don't. We've got to present such a difference that it is attractive to people. Such a marked difference between us and them that there's a reason to be us and not them. This is the important thing. This is what we are supposed to do. Not water down things. Okay? Because guess what? There's no reason. There's no reason. If they're okay and we're all right, you know, we just got a little bit different. You know, what does one bishop say? This is just the preferred way. It's the only way to heaven, Excellency. It's not a preferred way. We have to appreciate that. The traditional presentation of the church is that just men are renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't happen by accident. Christians are not born, they are made. Even when a child is born into an ultra-faithful family, they are not Christians until they are baptized. It's a tremendous difference. Until they're made citizens. Praise God that they've been born into a family that will have them baptized, but before it happens, they're not, no matter how ultra-faithful the family is. As I said, the church is a sanctifying body, not a civilizing body, and it starts with individuals. You hand a godless heathen money, he's going to go spend your money, and he's going to remain a godless heathen. And that might be the case, but at least when you hand him money, it should be, with the bare minimum, this is given to the glory and on the mercies of Christ. A lot of them like that, they already know that, so they'll actually say, God bless you when you give them money. You have to make sure that they know. You give showers, a free shower to a godless heathen, you get a clean godless heathen. That's not sanctifying anyone. We're supposed to sanctify people. We must. It's our mandate. We are not here to make this place more just and more human. We're here to make it more Christian. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.